We're taking a picture. Welcome to the Tasting Room live stream. February 19th, I believe, if my...
You are correct.
Memory serves me. It is, what correct. Would that be, 3 days before my brother's birthday. Happy early birthday, CJ. I'm going to celebrate his birthday on Thursday by going to Mercury Lounge to hear Evan Felker from Turnpike Troubadours play an acoustic set.
Sweet.
Yeah, I know.
That's where at? Fun.
Mercury. At the Merc.
No way.
He did a February residency. Every Thursday this month, he did a show at Merc.
What?
Yeah, the ticket sold out in like 32 seconds.
Oh, okay.
You know,
sure.
As you might imagine
with
Evan and guys like Turnpike Troubadours.
Yeah.
How you been? Everything good?
Everything's great.
No baby to report?
Yeah. I guess we're 7 days out, 8 days out. So we're close.
It'll be here before you know it. Fun show tonight. Chase Ealy is about to be brought on stage here, if we want to call it a stage. That's what they call it on the platform.
We can call it a stage.
We'll just call it a stage. A bunch to talk about with him. And before we wrap up after that, we'll play another edition of Guess That Beer.
Hey,
you're on a roll.
I'm getting a little better.
You're on a roll. We can talk about anything else you want to talk about after we visit with Chase. Let's bring him.
Sounds
up.
Good. Come on.
And there he
what
is.
Up? Chase
Ealy.
What's
going on, brother?
Hey guys.
How's it going?
Good to see you. Really good to see you.
Austin,
hear me
do you
okay?
know Chase? Yeah, we can hear you. We can see you. Austin, do you know Chase and I's like common? I don't know. Lineage would be the wrong word because that sounds like we're related. But
friendship?
The commonality we have that goes
beyond brothers
our
and
generation. Yes.
No.
So do you remember the helicopter at Channel 8?
I do.
So Chase's dad was a sports director at Channel 8. I was a sports director at Channel 8.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Chase's dad, though.
Okay.
He was in the heyday.
He was. I was. That's what I was just about to say. Like, your dad had it, like... If I could pick era to have the job that I used to have, it would have been his/Chris Lincoln's era because, you know, flying around on the helicopter, taking jets to media day and like doing all this different stuff. Like
that's pretty cool.
That has to be fun. How's he doing?
He's great. He's living out in Broken Arrow, complaining about all his land. He's got to take care of.
Oh my word.
Got a bunch of dogs and horses and you know, living the, well, you know what? I say that here recently, he's now a director at Fox News.
Okay. I thought you told me he was kind of getting back into it.
He had slowed down and then it got too slow. And now he's in charge of the newsroom there. Some portion of it. I won't overspeak his role there, but he's actually very busy now that I think about it.
Golly,
that's awesome.
That is funny.
Good for him.
I like the setup you have rolling there, the fire in the background. I was surprised after your TikTok, I'm surprised your dog isn't with you though. I'm surprised Moo isn't there.
They're already snoozing. Those dogs are early risers and they zonk out. So
I love that. You might see Charlie is somewhat asleep. Prudence is a little ornery as usual when we start recording, so she might pop her head into the frame at some point. So before we just start delving into whatever we want to delve into, for those that don't know, and by the way, if you're watching this live, either on Instagram or YouTube, if you have any questions, any comments, concerns, I won't read, but questions or comments, I will.
There we go.
Leave them and we'll get to them here in just a little bit. But Chase, for those that don't know your beer lineage, what got you into it, kind of the steps you have taken to get to where you are, do you want to give like a brief resume for everybody?
Oh, wow. Absolutely. So my girlfriend bought me my first homebrew kit.
In I love that. Nice.
2005. Okay. Then I just got real obsessed with homebrewing. To the point where I got the opportunity to help a guy start Coop Ale Works in Oklahoma City, 2008, 2009, 2009, I married my girlfriend, Erica. And, so from there we went from Coop for a couple of years to then Prairie starting that 2012 till 2016. And now that makes it 8 years of working on American Solera.
Dang.
So it's a lot.
Man, that's
and
for those,
I mean, a lot wild. Obviously in between all that, but it's kind of
That's and was it year one or year two? I don't remember which year it was, either one or two, right? When you guys at Solera won like or were named best new brewery or something like that. Was it
after first, like, year? First year, yeah, Rate Beer best. Yeah. It was first year because it was best new brewery. What did we win? Best new brewery. We won best new brewery.
That's what. Yeah.
Did we win it? I don't even.
You
know.
Did.
Yeah.
You did. So. You did.
Something like that.
If you look behind you on the mantle, that's the trophy that you have back there. Yeah, it's that one you wanted.
My outside,
Chase, I don't know if if you remember this, but I was actually at your brewery. I was either building out. I think I was building out Cabin Boys, and the announcement came. I was there, and you were putting together some solenoids, and your glycol system was everywhere, and you were like, yep, this looks about right for the best brewery.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was very home. It's fun. But, I mean, back then we had, like, it was just really about all those rustic styles and things. And we had, I think, 17 large oak tanks. We have six now. So beer, even in that era of 8 years ago, was a whole different beast. And so we were able to produce in a really rustic way, and there was a big audience for that, so that certainly helped a ton. Obviously it's not like that now, and I'm actually sitting here drinking like an old world Belgian beer or beer from De Dol, which is like inspired a lot of beers that I've always loved, but you can't just only make that kind of stuff now and have employees and pay anyone or pay for anything. So
curious, when you said rustic style, can you tell me exactly what you mean by that?
By a rustic style?
Yeah. Is that like food or aged and stuff like that?
Yeah. So like oak fermented, oak aged, maybe there's an element of spontaneous yeast involved. Maybe they're just different cultures. You know, we were playing with both, and really slow fermentation, slow conditioning, you know, projects taking a couple of years, maybe less, some taking maybe 6 months, the more Saison-y stuff, but rustic, sour, wild yeast, funky, not necessarily sour, but just kind of tastes like beer that was maybe made 200 years ago.
Yeah. And this is interesting. And this is, we'll just dive right into this topic. This is kind of a deep conversation now. We're getting into the weeds. But so I was looking, I have a beer, like not a cellar, but just like a shelf in my guest bedroom that we looked at.
Yeah, Austin, a couple weeks ago. I got a pretty big cellar basically myself.
Yeah. But I have a lot of your early beers from Solera. And so seeing some of those got me thinking, and I was like, yeah, like I don't know if it's accurate to say your style has evolved, or maybe just like what you have time to make, or I don't know, maybe I'm looking at you to kind of fill in the blanks here, but I did notice you're looking at like the early money blends and the early, you know, some of the early things that you did compared to like what comes out now, it does seem that there has been a little bit of a shift. Is that on purpose?
That's really the answer of running a tap room style brewery and the need for, and the demand for beers that we can turn in weeks instead of months. That being said, like, we do have a new release of Razzbarrel, which we haven't released in years, coming out whenever they decide to put it out. It's ready. Label designed by yours truly. And it's beautiful beer, 6 pounds per gallon of raspberries, clear glass, like really, really cool, nostalgic beer. So, I'm hoping here pretty soon we get that one out there. But like with those beers, there's not necessarily a rush to get them out. So it's kind of, you know, when it feels right or we've got a gap in our other production, we'll drop it here pretty soon. Yeah.
So Katie Godoy did just say Razzbarrel comes out Wednesday.
Oh, sweet.
That's in 2 days.
That is in 2 days. Yeah,
when I'll post this release?
So obviously the live stream is now, and then I'll post the podcast tomorrow morning. So if you're listening to this not live and it's Tuesday, then it would be tomorrow. But yeah, Wednesday of
that's
this week.
That's great to hear 19th. That she's listening in. So I have to make sure she can correct anything I say. But there's like there's like only 180 bottles. There's 750s.
Oh, wow. So
very, very limited. Plenty of drafts, so come try it. But if you really want one of those bottles, there aren't a lot of them.
Gotcha. So, and by the way, everyone's saying they could hear you all the way through. It was just us that lost it for a second. And it's probably because it's a Bluetooth thing and it also wants to connect to my phone. And if I get like any sort of message or something on my phone, it probably jumps in. So, but I'm curious. So just, these kind of beers, the kind of beers that we're talking about that's coming out Wednesday, like, is that what is the more enjoyable part of what you get to do now? Because I'm sure churning and burning
the types of beers. For me personally, it's probably the piece I get to still get to play a little ball in. You know, Matt and the guys, Caleb and Greg, like, they really just take care of business in the Brew Cube, our production area. And so the sour beer is really where I still get to kind of put my hands on it and make some of the decision making in the production, because I'm not that quick of a person and nobody needs these beers that quickly. So it works well because no one's necessarily counting on it. So they can release as it makes sense or when they're ready, where those guys just, you know, stay on top of everything else.
Yeah,
and do a fantastic job.
They do. And the beers they release, I mean, those different IPAs and the stouts and all that, I mean, it's just fantastic stuff. And it's such a cool area. That area of town has become such a cool area of town. Just, you know, you guys are next door to each other, Cabin Boys and Solera. You have Marshall's just down the street. You have Nothing's Left the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just such a cool area. And I love your tap room and the vibe in there. And you and Erica, I don't know how much of it was you, how much of it was her, but did a really good job.
Very little was me.
I wasn't going to assume that, but yeah, she did a really good job of designing the tap room. I'm curious, throughout your beer lineage that we just went through, I'm sure you've brewed maybe not every style of beer, but a lot of styles of beer. I'm curious if there's a style or something that you haven't had the chance to brew yet that's like on your wish list of beers that you would want to release at some point.
You know, I think we've really touched on all of them. I mean, I can't think of anything that we haven't done, or at least like a close to. I'm loving all the different lagers and things that we're releasing. You know, we have a Vienna style lager coming out here soon. Katie could give you the details on that release. But it's a collaboration with Philbrook, and that's a really fun beer, modeled after a famous beer available in down in Hill Country of Texas.
That is one of my favorite beers. Yes.
Yeah. So come on by for a Philbock. Diving into all those styles has been a lot of fun. And like, can we take these historic lager styles and make them tasty? Because I love drinking them.
You and me both.
So that's the one. You know what I was telling Matt the other day? I'd like to dive into like doing a rice lager, but like with a lot of rice, like really light. Going to eat sushi and having like a sahi or something. Yeah. Be like, damn. Like, I want to hit this, like, just like, and I know they're brewing that beer like in Canada now. So it's not like completely like, well, you can never do it here because we don't have the same water or whatever. Like, you know, we can make that all happen. But I think all the lager stuff is a lot of fun. And obviously it just lends itself to being enjoyable to drink. You can get geeky about it, but then anyone can also enjoy it kind of style.
Yeah.
Yep.
100%.
So those are the ones I get.
Katie's coming through in the clutch again. Philbock releases a week from this Friday, so March the 1st.
Sweet.
March 1st. That makes sense. That's cool. So let it keep lagering. But I think those are the styles we're having a lot of fun with. And I'd like to get deeper and deeper. No one else is excited as I am about barley wines, but it's my favorite style. and we have a lot of it in barrels, but it's not as popular as its cousin Imperial Stout. So,
But I will give you credit here. Whenever I come into your tap room and I see a barley wine on the tap list, I'm going to get it because I don't know if I've had, and I'm not just telling you this because you're here chatting with us, but I don't know if I've been to a brewery or had a brewery that consistently makes barley wines that are as good as the ones that you guys put out.
Thank you.
And that's just,
thank you.
I'm glad to hear that it's one of your favorite styles because it comes through, because those beers are freaking unbelievable.
I need to come over and have it. I was ecstatic when you.
Yeah, I think we probably still have the Be My Barley Wine on. Katie could chime in on that.
We're putting Katie right to work now. Tonight. Yeah, she can't leave. She has to keep watching.
Yeah, she's really out. Yeah. But that, yeah, gosh, I love those beers and the age we put on them. And a lot of that inspiration comes from Hair of the Dog. It's a brewery out of Portland that's no longer around. You can still, they have so much old beer and barrel aged beer, like you can still buy their beer, but they've stopped brewing it. So over the last few years, I've been buying cases and tucking them away. And I've got some that are 20-year-old bottles from those guys. Wow. So it's a fun way, I think, to create identity for like flavor and like the way those can be aged and the age character. And like, I just love it. I love it. Like the signature of those, like the aged flavors, the almonds, the cake flavors, like just like all of it, like the whiskey flavor. Oh my gosh. Love it.
I love it.
It is still on tap.
I'm caught up in it here, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
No, it's great. Katie says it is on tap and there are a few bottles for sale as well.
So. Bottles still remaining.
I might have and to, it's like I might a have to save grab me a one. Bottle. Yeah.
Well, it's one of those beers that like we put like a Valentine-y label on just to get that kind of person, that needs to, I need to grab something like kind of fun. But it sure as hell is like a 30-month aged, like bourbon barrel aged Imperial Stout. And we're real generous on the price point on that one. So people should pick
it up. What did come in ABV? Do you remember?
I don't remember what's on there.
Something big.
Like 14-15%, maybe 50, because like those getting those like really extra year or so in the barrel are just getting even more concentrated, and the flavors are getting more concentrated, the alcohol is getting more concentrated, and so yeah, I don't remember where that one totally landed, but man, they creep, and we leave a lot of residual sweetness in ours. It's just part of our signature, and obviously, as it ages, that just intensifies and it just all melds into just something that only time can create, guys.
Yeah. That's the
no
truth.
Doubt.
Katie, the MVP, says 14%. So yes, you were spot on.
14.
You were right there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Katie.
One of my buddies that I used to work with at Cerebral when I was living in Denver was, I don't know if he's still watching, but he was watching a minute ago, which reminded me, did you guys collab with them?
Yes. Yeah. We've done a few things. We did like a version of our Terpy double IPA with them, and then Little Monsters was it okay. Was yeah. them with that? Or, that was like a barley wine stout blend with almonds.
Yeah,
I believe we did nice. Like toasted almonds, and so that was something we hadn't really tried before, and they kind of introduced us to that. And I'd do it in every beer if we could. It's awesome.
They're
it's
awesome. That having a big to up. This day's. Yeah, so the year that I worked there, year and change, it would have been 2018. And as we were getting into the fall, I think it was, my timing might be off. I think it was in the fall. They released their annual release of Here Be Monsters, which is they have a few different variations of the stout that usually come out. And I had kind of in my mind thought, and we talked about this maybe a month or so ago,
yeah,
that the craze behind beer releases and stuff had died down a little bit.
It has,
but not there and not that beer because, I mean, this was only a handful of years ago and the line, I mean, so I got there.
Even in a handful of years, it's changed though.
Probably. Yeah. Cause yeah. even then, which like we're saying it was 2018, that was what, like almost 6 years ago now.
Yeah.
Sorry,
but the line was like out the door, around the corner, down the block. I mean, it was insanity, But yeah, like you're saying, it probably has changed. But that Here Be Monsters beer was my point. That stout that they do is just, it's out of this world. It's it's really, really, really good. You're kind of leading me into the deep dive conversation we had. How many weeks ago was that? It was a few weeks ago, about how the industry's changed. And like,
oh, yeah.
It was when we had Jake Miller from Heirloom on. Mm-hmm. And the previous week, we had talked about how, like, you were almost saying, Austin, that you would like to try to like harken back to beer being cool again. And like,
and what I meant by that was I want people to come hang out for beer itself.
Yeah.
Again, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And
I hear what Jake said.
Yeah. Jake was basically like, no, I don't want that. He was like, I don't want the, like, I mean, you know, some people call them neck beards. Yeah, some people call them whatever.
He was talking about, but he doesn't want the lines.
Yeah.
He doesn't want the exclusivity.
Yeah. And I'm curious where you fall on that. Like, I mean, because you've been in this game long enough to have seen it kind of come out of obscurity, quote unquote, to the top of the hype mountain of,
right,
you know, releases and people shipping beers and standing in line and doing trades and doing all this stuff. I mean, hell, I used to be in a fantasy football league where the entry was beers that you couldn't get in state. Like, you had to go, like,
that's
get them.
Fun.
Yeah. And then,
well, that's just fun. Was like, who wouldn't want to do
that? That's super fun.
It was a blast, but now you can get anything anywhere, I feel like. So I'm curious where you fall on, like, where the beer world slash market slash hype, or however you want to phrase it, where it is now. And do you want it to get back to anything? Are you happy with the way it is? Do you see it trending any direction? Kind of where do you fall on all that?
Oh, wow. No, it's tough because it's all being driven by Gen Z, and I heard they don't even like carbonation, John.
What?
They want alcoholic plain ass water. And
what?
You know, and
we, yeah, can do that for
it's
them.
The new trend. Yeah, we, wow, could
non-carbonated alcoholic water.
$1,000 a month.
Seriously, yeah.
They just want plain ass alcoholic water, and that's the 20 somethings for you. So it sucks in the year as I approach 40. It's a funny world we live in that now it's, yeah, like, damn, these kids, and that's where I'm at. You know, they want they want Twisted Tea. And because Twisted Tea is not carbonated. Right.
True.
They don't like the fizz. I love fizz. I'll have a can of Waterloo sparkling water next to my bed tonight. Black cherry.
I've had so much bitters and soda to start this year.
I'm very much appreciating how much carbonation is in this year old Caleb's Killer hard lemonade, which is tasting great, by the way.
Strawberry.
Eddie could probably chime in to when we release that. That's a real vintage one you held on to there.
Yeah. You could almost call it Solarid with thyme. So it mixed with the thyme.
The one ingredient does taste great. No, yeah. I love to hear. We'll crack some of those and be like, damn, like this just tastes great still. So that's always,
yeah.
We're happy to hear that. We want to drink fresh, but to know that it holds up is obviously good to hear. But it's tough to now market to a new generation of people that aren't as celebratory of the craft brewer story, or aren't as excited about that detail anymore. They aren't interested in the story. So it's unique to have to all of a sudden figure out how to market to a new group of people. You know, I don't think that Austin's wrong with, like, the approach now, I think, is more about, and we try to do this, creating a space that's very inclusive. It's, you know, we make wine, we have seltzer, we've got beer, we have non-alcoholic. And people really are more interested in having, like, a great place to spend time, and the beverages don't need to outpace that. They don't need to be as intense or extreme, and we still love those beers and we'll keep making them. But I think that people want just more ordinary beers now.
Yeah. And that, I almost wonder what the end game is. you know,
that's kind of what, what is the end game with this next generation that is, you know, driving stuff?
That's more what I meant. Yeah.
And where is this mentality coming from? Because, you know, we all grew up in the craze of like, give us more flavor. Why are they begging for uncarbonated alcoholic water?
I think there's like something to that from like the next generation pushing back from the previous kind of a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's new and I'm not that it's like we were joking about me dipping into TikTok a little bit. And it's like, damn, like how come I'm so dumb that I can't figure out how to use this well? And, you know, or it's like my son's got this haircut that I just like don't agree with. And it's like, but that's because I'm not a young, he's kid, but it's like, you can't appreciate it or don't like it because you're just not part of it. So
we sound so old right now.
I know. It's like, so your point's not valid. They can have those like poodle top haircuts all they want. They all like it.
Yep.
You know,
dude, we're still trying to figure out how to put the VCR into.
Right. Nothing makes you feel older than trying to operate TikTok. Man. I mean, Austin, nothing makes him feel older than having to open up any social media app on your phone.
Yeah.
But let alone TikTok. Like, I mean, that's.
I'm still trying to figure out. Chase, you are so far ahead of me. You learned how to actually like do TikTok. And get your face up there. I'm still
people are learning.
Do what?
They're seeing me learn as I do it. They're seeing me learn as awesome. I do it.
But there's something to that
but
too.
One of the TikToks gives it, I did was,
yeah, it makes it real though, right? I mean, I kind of like that.
That's what I'm here for, to give people, you know, the human experience.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So we'll get there pretty soon. Yeah, I'll be figuring out how to sell alcohol on there and, you know, be making breakthroughs.
Yeah, there you go.
Katie said that beer's from 2022. So I was off a little bit. It wasn't last summer. It was the summer before.
Dude, this canning run, cool. They must have gotten.
Thank you so much for all the continued support.
I told you I needed, I outed myself before we came on because, I don't have a lot of beer in my fridge right now, but I definitely need to re-up on the Solera.
I will say this. This tastes great for 2 years being in a can. This is impressive.
Yeah. See, I was just doing you guys a favor, Chase. I was letting people know that if they have old Solera beer in their fridge, it's still going to be great.
If you like sit on it and just like let it die in the back of your fridge, like you can still revive it.
Yeah.
Just crack it open.
Of course. You mentioned earlier that you guys are doing wine now. Can you talk to us a little bit about the thought process that went into wanting to go down that road?
Yeah. So I've always kind of mentioned that, like when it came to wanting to make alcohol to drink, I chose beer because it just like, you could drink it in like a month. That sounded way cooler than a year or whatever to make wine. So I went down the beer path, but I was always interested in wine, which led to us making beers that had grapes in them, which led to just thinking, well, why not just make wine? And so we started doing that a couple of years ago as a partnership with Andrew Jones at Field Recordings. And he's just been a big help to us with sending us grapes. You know, I can text him when I'm trying to figure something out. And it's just all a big experiment with moving fruit from California to here and how do we handle it? And do we allow the fruit to be carbonic so that it's like creating CO2 and fermentation in transit and just coming up with unique solutions to try to make wines here, make unusual, less typical stuff. It's all like just a lot of experimenting and fun with that. And so like right now we just released our rosé. That's a blend of a Vlodigy, which is like they call it like old Napa Gamay. just like a red varietal from California, and then a blend with a white wine that we produced here with I think Vidal Blanc, which is one of the white varietals, and then we did another run of it sparkling as well that's in cans, and really I just need to get in and start blending and working on some of the new releases. But going sparkling in a can, we realized like really kind of was more of a nod and a little more connected to the beer we're making. And so I think that's an avenue we're going to lean into a little more. So we'll do like a skin fermented white blend that we'll do sparkling in cans, four packs, and just creating like a beverage that's like, doesn't need to be wine. People have opinions on what wines they want to drink. But it obviously isn't beer either. So lower alcohol, cool. Sparkling, sessionable wine, if you will. So we're dabbling in that. And it really is just like comes from me wanting to mess with it. If I'm being honest, it'd be easier just to sell other people's wine. And that's fun too, because you can be very specific and explore that too with different winemakers, different regions and all that. So not knocking on that, because that's a whole different fun journey to go down.
Right.
But I like making stuff. So we just went for it.
I dig that. So
that's super cool.
So when you, how much of it is done at field recordings, and then how much, where do you guys come in like in the process?
It just depends. We've had them like press juice there and send it. We will have them just put the grapes in a vessel, seal it up, and ship it our way. So we do a little of everything. And then obviously we're fermenting spontaneously with yeast that was on the grape skins, and which I guess is not typical for winemakers here. And I just figured that's how you make wine. Just kind of my naive approach, I guess, but we're just having fun with it, and I'll tell him like what I'm looking for, and he tells me what makes sense for him. Cause like I said, he doesn't owe me any of these favors in helping me with this, but I'm sure grateful that he does. But we're going through a lot of grapes.
That's awesome. It reminds me hearing about this, and I don't know why my mind just went there, to probably my favorite, I guess you could call it a news blooper of all time. And stop me if you know which one I'm talking about, Chase. I'm sure you don't, Austin. You're not social media enough to have seen it.
I'm not that hip.
It's relatively old. I mean, it's probably 10, 15 years old. And this reporter is doing a live shot at a stomping festival. You know what I'm talking about?
I'll show you
later. I don't even know. When I'm editing this, I could insert the video, but I don't know if that's allowed.
You just do the sound. Just the sound.
Yeah. Yep. So she's on this live shot, and they're doing competition to see like who can stomp the most juice
The
10 seconds that she's live. And towards the end, she tries to cheat, and she goes really, really fast and missteps.
Oh no.
And falls off the ledge, like trips over the vessel, whatever it is, and just flat, like all of the air just vacates her body. And she starts like that sound Chase just made, like just, you can just feel the pain, and it cuts back into the studio, and the anchors are trying their hardest not to laugh. And the poor guy is just like me. He can't hold it in. Yeah. That's one of my favorite things. All that to say, Chase, if you want to have a grape stomping festival, I will gladly at least come watch. I don't know if I'll partake, but
could you
did a
grape stomp in the, keep going.
You're up, Chase.
Sorry. We did a field blend of a few different local varietals, and me and my 6-year-old Wilson foot stomped all of it. So I need to blend that one up, because that one was pretty special. I got video of us just stomping away at it, and he wasn't really heavy enough to fully stomp it, but he asks about it all the time. So I got to get that one. Really,
how's the kid lacrosse world?
It's deep, man. We're committed this summer to so far, we got to make the team. But we've been on it the last couple of years. One of the tournaments will be over Memorial Day, and we'll play in Philadelphia during the NCAA lacrosse Final Four, and then we get tickets to the games, like the college games too.
We're traveling like that.
Colorado.
Is that a select team? Is that
what that is? It's like kind of the one in town, and so we go to Texas a lot to for the kids to play, and yeah, it's all just pretty amazing. All the coaches are professional players, and just amazing. They're all Canadian, so they're all like crazy nice, and you know, they love them all. That's from awesome. My son Denver, that's, you know, 9, to Wilson, that's 6, and they've known Wilson since he was, you know, 4 years old, and so it's just a lot of fun, like just that being part of their kids' sport experience. And I coach the younger, I coach on both, but I'm the head coach. I'm the head coach on the K1 team, one of them. Several dads, and collectively coaching all these kids, and so it's fun. It's growing fast, and I hope as our kids get older, it just keeps going and going as a far as becoming big time.
I'm sure it will. What kind of a coach is Chase Healy? Are you a motivational speaker coach?
See, I do or this thing with my teams where I do like a chat GPT or like an AI a pump up speech for the parents the night before or the morning of. And it's a lot of fun. I could read you one. If you want to hear kind of how it,
if you have it, yeah, I would love that,
I think I can get to it pretty quick. And this one was funny because I didn't proof it well enough. Cause I'll tell you in a minute, but this one says, and their name is the Magic, and say, all right, Magic crew, today we're facing the Dunks. And guess what? We're unveiling our secret weapon, the softest defense in basketball history. Forget about blocking shots. We'll be gently redirecting them. Let's keep it lighthearted, make them laugh, and confuse the Dunks with our marshmallow defense. They won't know what hit them, literally. Get out there and have a blast. And so, and then there's a lot of hashtags and emojis. And we play in this basketball league where our kids are they've played flag football together. They're pretty good. And but a lot of kids in this league are, this is like super, sports are very new to them. And so we've had to have them back off a little bit. So that's kind of a nod to the joke that we literally need them to not defend these other kids very hard, because everyone still deserves to have a good experience in it. And our kids are just like a little too aggressive. But that's fun. That wraps up this weekend. So
that marshmallow that's defense.
Awesome. Yeah. And then I realized, like, cause sometimes I'll write one and then I'll tell AI to make it funnier. But AI's idea of making things funnier is just using words like comedy and laughter in what it wrote. It doesn't actually cut jokes. But it's kind of funny. So that's a tradition. Hopefully people enjoy it or they're annoyed.
Either way, it's memorable.
I would enjoy it. Right? That would be awesome.
It gets everyone fired up. And I think for a while they really thought I was writing them. And like, I am like a pretty, like kind of I can be kind of a quiet person. So was probably unexpected when someone saw one for the first time, but it's because it was generated by a computer. And
that's awesome.
Now I kind of want to show up to a game, even though I don't have a kid, period, or a kid on
it's
that team.
And it's weird if just you do. It's weird speech. If you do.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah. Yeah. I'll not. My better judgment will win out and I won't show up, but the urge is there to hear you give the speech in person.
No, I don't give it in person. I text it out.
Okay.
It's not live. Right. Oh no. Okay. I'm not that charismatic.
I thought you sent it to the parents before, and then you would give the speech.
No, these kids have no idea. These kids. The funny part is the kids have no idea this part of it. Is the parents all getting all fired up?
I love it.
That's pretty cool.
That makes it even cooler.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, I appreciate you coming on, dude. It's we kept you past the 30-minute mark. It's
Hey, I'm keep going. I got another beer to open here. You all maybe
let's do it. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Shoot, we're gonna sit here for another 20-ish minutes or so. So yeah, you're welcome to
let's do it
to hang around.
What else you got? What else you need to know about?
I know. That's a great question.
What I just opened for you here is Ore Beer Special Reserva 2017 bottle. So big oak age brown sour. And I got to get up.
He's drinking all these great beers. Do you like have actual beer?
I have actual beer. Would you like me to grab you an actual beer? To Chase for a second. I'll grab you an actual beer.
He's going to go dig something up here. So it's all, I don't get an opportunity. I don't, none of my friends want to drink these beers with me. You guys are the only friends I got that want to digitally drink beer with me. So these,
well, man, I need it. Okay. Oh, he just handed me our Oktoberfest. Now this is very aged.
No, it's not. You brought it.
Well,
I mean, it's not aged in my fridge. It's like 2 weeks old.
No. Oh, well, I mean, we packaged this in June of last year.
Gotcha.
The July. Funny thing I mean, about October is
we packaged this in July
fair.
Of last year. Chase, you're more than welcome if you want to open up some barley wines and whatnot. We've got some age old beer over at next door, so you're
y'all could have just had me. Y'all didn't have to make me do this for my home. I live in town. I could have come over there.
That's true too.
Yeah. In hindsight,
I figured it was like a mic setup thing, so I wasn't gonna press on it.
It is.
It's that and this table and where we're at. Like we haven't done it with three people on the podcast in the same room yet in this setup, and so I need to. Sure. Like I have another mic arm and mic. I just need to figure out.
That's like a two camera situation. Then we need a producer.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing. You know the drill. You know the drill. All right, let me ask you one of those stupid interview questions because I actually don't know what your answer would be. If you weren't in the beer world and you didn't own your own brewery and you just didn't know what it was, what would you be doing?
Holy smokes.
What would I be doing? Man, I don't think about that all the time because sometimes I'm like, well, with none of these Gen Zers buying this beer, I may have to think of something else here to do down the road.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what that would be. I would just be such a terrible employee for someone. I can't even imagine.
Don't you know enjoy, it, man.
I just like don't even know. I did in college. I did like carpentry. I did like finished carpentry on houses. And enjoy working with my hands, and that comes into like wanting to make beer and stuff and create things. So it may be something in the kind of carpentry world. It could be, there's this guy, Drew Friday. He's a fly fishing guide over in Arkansas, and this dude's just like the fly fishing like version of me. If I could say that, maybe if he ever heard this, he may say, no, he's not. But I would love to. I don't know if I could have it in me, like guiding like that or getting involved in like outdoors like that. But obviously I love going and doing it. I love going and fishing and having a guide do all the work. So maybe I just like that part. Maybe I don't like the part of I'm not a mean person. But I don't know if I'm that nice to like be able to be a guide and like just be real patient with people and on for them. So I just like going on nice fishing trips is really what it comes down to. Yeah. So maybe I can be the guy that I don't know
I got it for you. I got it for you. You can be the social media TikTok influencer who sells fishing trips and like
the other trips.
We did a trip. I did a trip with my boys here this last year and we were fishing in the kind of lagoon area around Cancun. And the guy that was running it was just this like Danish guy sitting in his little office there on the inward side of the hotel area there. And I think he just lined up all the trips and booked them and kind of ran the ins and outs and then sent his guides out. And we had a great time, but I was like, he wasn't out there doing it. He was just like, guy, the accent and everything. He romanced you into any kind of trip, you could dream up. So Who knows, though? I don't. Yeah. Household is in trouble if I gotta one day get into a new line of work. So
you mentioned something, though, that is so true, because, like, it's only been 4 or 5-ish years that I've technically been my own boss. I guess since 2019. So it's, yeah,
5 years.
5 years. Yeah, and change. It was like January of 19. Yeah. And like, so this is funny. And I hesitate in saying this because I think it's going to raise more questions than I'm ready to answer. But I did randomly apply for a job the other day. I don't need a job. Don't need a job. Very happy owning Grassfire, like not looking for a job. But there was this one position that like came into my email, and it sounded like if I was going to write a job description for John Moss, it was this job. It was like senior manager of like sports relationships for live video at Netflix. $500,000 a year.
And yeah.
Hey, let's go. Like, I'm just going to fill out the app. I had to redo, like, I hadn't made a resume in fucking forever. So I had to, like, redo all the stuff, and I applied for it just out of shits and giggles, really.
So have you heard back?
No, and I probably won't. I mean, I'm sure there's, like, executives from TV that want that job, you know.
I got to the honor of being your last guest on your podcast before you had to leave.
Before I moved to LA.
No one here would blame you. No one would blame you.
Fair. But it's like, but my whole point in bringing up what you said was that, like, I don't know. It's what got me thinking about that. I don't know if I would be a good employee either. Like, there's something about being your own boss and working for yourself and not answering to the man and being the one that sets the course and navigates the waters and all the stuff. I don't know if I would be a good, I think I used to be a good employee. I would like to think so, but I don't know if I would be a good employee anymore. I think I've seen how the sausage is made too much to go back to that.
I know I would fail.
Yeah.
Or it would take me a while to get back into the gears of being an employee for me.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Nothing
like I love everybody that works with and around Cabin Boys. I love your crew, Chase, next door. I don't know. It is a weird thought.
How does your managerial hierarchy work at Solera, Chase? Like, are you involved in the hiring process, or do you just sit up in the ivory tower and do whatever it is that you want to do and let the minions run the day-to-day operations?
Just, like, never use any words like that. So does it work?
I'm sorry for your employees.
right.
There's Erica. And there's me. I mean, it just depends on the side. Like, I mean,
yeah,
we've had very little turnover on the production side, like almost none. I mean, a little, but that's kind of stayed how it is. And Matt's over, you know, kind of runs the production side, and
he's really killing it too.
He runs the whole other side of the tap room and a lot of our coordination that goes on with distribution and the bubs with the food. And like, there's so many pieces that if I tried to break it all down, I feel like I would overlook some of it. So, you know, she's over, and then Erica works directly with her. And so, man, everyone like does so much. And sometimes it's like, well, what do I do? A little bit, but you know, a big piece for me is really developing new brands, working with suppliers on ingredients, looking just for new opportunities for us, places to sell our beer. You know, we're shipping beer this year to South Korea, which is kind of fun.
Wow, congrats. That's awesome.
Yeah, this is kind of like a random little deal, but so I feel like that's kind of my role in a lot of ways, is those kind of, I wouldn't say like bigger picture, but like unique opportunities and finding our position in a lot of ways, how and where we're going to sell beer, and really everyone else kind of handles executing it.
Is that going to Seoul, South Korea, or where in South Korea?
I think so. That's a great question. Okay. You know, they, and I don't know that we've seen, it's all packaged beer. And it looks like a lot of times I'll see posts, it's like breweries there that have the beer to sell along with the beers they make. So it's really interesting, you know, seeing craft beer in foreign countries. And I'd say one that like excites me the most is like all the craft breweries that are opening in Mexico. And I think that they're like 10 years behind us. And so you can see in all these small new breweries down there, like the excitement and the energy, and they're introducing like people to craft beer in a way that would happen here, you know, 10 to 20 years ago. And so it's kind of fun to watch that and to try those beers whenever like we're traveling down there. And so it's kind of fun to see that. So, I don't think you'll see an American Solera, Cancun anytime soon, but, it'd be fun to make a beer with someone down there just cause I feel like they're really kind of going through it in a little bit of a craft beer revolution down there. And so, and I think that's happening, in different pockets of the world. And it's fun and it's exciting to see the energy and the excitement.
I was going to say, forget what I said about being a bad employee. I will be your taproom manager for the beachfront American Solera location in Mexico.
I always wanted to do, because like for a while there, we would get invited to the McKellar beer cell, like the Copenhagen beer celebration, the CBC. So I wanted to do the Cancun beer celebration, and I even found like a bar that would do it. I think they were in Playa de Carmen, and we kind of got the wheels turning on it a little bit, but, and then it'll be
100%
cool. Like Fish will do a show at like an all-inclusive resort and people can hang out, but it'd be like that, but craft beer and hanging out. And that's maybe my dream.
So, I'm telling you, though, if you think about like if what you just said, and I've heard the same thing, like if they're about 10 years behind us, like that could jumpstart, like, be a catalyst for like quicker movement in the craft beer world and the industry in Mexico.
It needs to come with from within, not me coming down there to steer the Mexican people.
Sure.
But there's a lot of, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of cool stuff.
You being able to like bring beers that probably I don't want to say they've never had, but just aren't readily available down there, and just like more of like an example of, hey, this is what you guys can become if you want to be like, check out my brewery, check out my friend's brewery, have these styles of beer that aren't really common down here, and then, you know, pat on the back, go get them, guys, you know, that could be really cool.
Kind of wild world. So one day.
Have you, Chase, watched the Portugal craft beer scene? Just that's very left field, but I'm interested.
No, but I know, like, obviously there's a lot of cool wine stuff that happens there. So I'd imagine it's, you know, and I've had friends like with breweries in Spain and seeing things happen there, and the European beer scene is interesting how it's moved and changed over the years. So I'm not up to speed on morphing. Portuguese craft beer.
I only asked that. I went there. I know that you go or have been to Europe multiple times, but I went over to Portugal with Lisa last January, and it was kind of like stepping back in time into the like 2008 era of craft beer. You could just kind of feel like, okay, this is about to ready to be a thing, with their creativity. So I didn't know
that's
if you
great.
Had a I've always touched on it.
Yeah, I've always thought that was very interesting. Like, because like a decade ago, we would go to do beer festivals in Europe, and there was really big demand for American brewers to come to sell beer, and we'd sell full container loads of beer into Europe. there's a lot of demand. And so it's almost like, I think it's interesting because a lot of the beers we're making and how we were inspired was by some of the traditional Belgian things and early beer making that was going on in different parts of Europe, to then inspire American brewers to then bring their beers to Europe, to then inspire all the breweries in Europe. And now the demand for us to come there, like, it's not there anymore because all the breweries in Europe now also make really cool, fun beer. But before, it was still traditional and they were in, you know, probably faster in some countries than others, getting inspired and then starting to take a American craft beer approach to the beer being made in all these countries. So I'd love to go back there and do some stuff, but you know, no one's having me. They once paid for me to fly to Norway for a long weekend. They bought my plane ticket, my hotel, all my meals, and flew me there and poured at a beer festival. And then, like,
oh my word.
Then like Sunday just came home. Like, it used
to
be.
That's when you should have been nuts on TikTok back then.
Right? Yeah. That was a different world. We were all living, and it was pretty funny because it was my buddy that was there, Yepa, who's got Evil Twin, and he was friends with Lurvig, was the brewery. I don't even know how I got pulled into that or why oh my God. It was amazing. But then they made this beer called like Money Pizza and Money or something like that. And they took these in Norway, I guess these frozen pizzas are very popular. And in the mash, they threw all these frozen pizzas in like the currency, because everyone in Norway is wealthy. And they just like threw money into the mash tun with all these frozen pizzas and made this beer that they served.
What?
It is unreal.
Like, that is bonkers. Like,
did you try it?
Yeah, it was excellent. I mean, it was like just a gimmick.
for the beer tasted like pepperoni and
what
dirt.
A world. So it's different now. And no one pays you to, maybe some people, no one pays me to go anywhere. And I don't want to go. So, you know, old and
fair,
you know, once you start having kids, it ends up that you don't try to run all over the world. Sorry.
Yeah.
About that. you don't run all over the world like you used to. You change a little.
For our Instagram audience, the live stream usually cuts off at an hour, so you'll lose us in a couple minutes, but we'll probably keep the conversation going on YouTube if you want to jump over to YouTube. Yeah, because I do have a couple more questions for you.
Oh, and interesting.
I was just thinking as you were talking, so if like Portugal, Mexico, you know, if there are countries that are 10 years behind the U.S. in the beer scene, in the beer world, do you think we are 10 years behind someone? Are we 10 years behind England? Are we 10 years behind?
No. Yeah. I want to hear what you say. I have an answer to that too.
Chase, what do you think? You said no, right?
No, I think we are on the forefront and everyone is watching what's happening here. And so I don't think there's anyone to be behind. Okay. I don't think that means it's better.
True.
Breweries are closing every day. So that's where we're at these days.
Yeah.
So it's like there's definitely a change in our market that's like not that awesome. And so, but it's probably probably what's to come elsewhere too.
Yeah.
Where you were asking if we're 10 years behind specifically in Oklahoma, right?
No, I meant more just like, if Portugal and Mexico are 10 years behind us, are we 10 years behind someone else? Like we being America.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Now, Oklahoma, I know, is behind other states when it comes to
I had two different to answers that. To that.
Yeah.
Super locality to Oklahoma and America.
Yeah.
Chase, your answer was spot on.
Oh, yeah.
That is scary, though, the closing of breweries, because that's I've lost count of the number. One, I know there's been a handful of breweries in Oklahoma City recently that have had to shut their doors, and I thought there was more than there were, because I guess one just went to they're doing something weird, like off hours, only like a day or two a week, or they're doing something weird like that. That is kind of scary that, I mean, this generation that we're talking about that wants alcohol water, non-carbonated. I mean,
I guess we can make it for them.
Yeah.
I think it's called like funny water.
I can't wait till you come out with your funny water.
It's called Solera. Like funny water or something. And joke's on me, they're going to sell fucking $8 million worth of it. But
you better jump on it now because it's going to be the seltzer.
Get on
thing.
That like, goof water.
Yeah, get on that goof water.
You call it goof, we'll call it silly water.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think it's what is it called? We're hearing it's just the newest thing. Funny.
And so like, is there someone?
Oh my god! I started typing funny and funnywater.com. Funny maybe water. Don't go there.
Yeah. Hold on. Yeah, no. You do it first.
Is that it? Yeah. Funnywater.com.
Funnywater.com.
There it is.
Like that sounds like a joke.
Well, joke's on us for not making funny water.
I mean,
Do you mix it with ice and like gin?
Sure. Well, if you want, certainly. Oh, and non-alcoholic funny water coming soon. I'm not going to make fun of them. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think you can get it here. Are about to be able to get it here in Oklahoma. It's,
I can't wait to try
it's
this.
It's the future, and you're either on it. What is funny water? Funny water is flavored water with alcohol and no carbonation.
That just doesn't sound appealing to me at all.
Well, that's because you're not 27, John.
This is valid. We are both turning 40 this year, I believe. Did you say you were turning 40 this year?
I am. Yeah.
I am too. Am I before you, though? I'm in April.
August.
Okay. Yeah, so I got you beat.
I'm 5 years behind.
You're a little behind, Austin. Yep. You're the young pup. Now, like you might enjoy this funny water.
You're almost water crowd.
No, I'm like a
funny water has 0 grams of sugar and only 1 lonely gram of carbohydrate.
Damn. I'm like a 35-year-old stuck in a definitely above 40-year-old's mind.
This is a stupid question, but I'm going to ask
its ABV is 3.75. It's very low. It's like just there. I just like it's probably just like going to kill it, and we're all just in trouble.
Yeah. Hey, this is a stupid question, but I'm realizing as I'm sitting here that I don't 100% know the answer. What actually is a seltzer? Is it alcoholic carbonated water?
Yes.
I mean, it just depends on how you make it.
Yeah. Fair. But this is like the tap water version of. Like when you go to the restaurant, like do you want sparkling water or still?
That's why they had to name it funny water.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it doesn't speak to it being like made from liquor or made from like malt, like just like fermented. It's probably made it says non-malt flavored beverage. But it doesn't have nutritional facts, so it's not in FDA-based products, so maybe it does. I don't have
What license do they hold?
80 calories. 80 calories a can. I'm glad that all of your viewers can indulge us on this dive into funny water.
Do you know people that are listening to this tomorrow?
So I don't know. I don't know what they're
doing it right now. They're going to funnywater.com. Being like, what is happening?
We're just happy to throw some business their way. I can still click buy it now, and where does it sell it to me at? I have to select a
state.
Does
it say where it's made?
I just haven't gotten that deep into this. Let's enter the site, but will they ship it? Sorry, they can't ship it to Oklahoma. You're out of luck.
I'm curious. Because Oklahoma doesn't believe that you can ship alcohol.
Yeah, we had that conversation off air. That blows my mind. That's still
the devil's
thing.
Juice, so you can't do it.
Who's making this?
That's my question. Contact. Is this a brewery that turned into Funny Water, or is this like a new separate venture from somebody?
Oh, like is it Sam Adams?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
I don't know. No one's talking. No one. They don't want to tell you who makes.
That makes me think it's one of those bigger breweries.
Their tagline is the responsible way to behave irresponsibly.
This is the brainchild of PJ and Jake, two friends.
Oh, PJ.
Right on.
PJ's the clown of that relationship. He's the jokester.
No, like I said, I really think the joke might be on us.
No, you're 100% right. This is going to be a thing.
It literally says, we are sorry it had to come to this.
Because I know a lot of people that don't like soda water because they don't like the bubbles, which they'll still drink like a soda pop, which blows my mind, but they don't like the bubbles in soda water. So if you can have a seltzer with all these different flavors that is non-carbonated, it is going to be a thing. Like, it, you're 100% right. It is going to be a thing. That's crazy.
These guys met each other at the Young Presidents organization and hit it off.
Good for them. Good for them.
I love it. They'll never see this. That we're like bragging on their.
Oh, I'm gonna tag them. I'm gonna tag them in this one. I'm sure they're on Instagram. They gotta be.
They have funny water. Like, we'll bring on the funny. We'll do the. Katie said, "Funny water's made in Chicago, but can't figure out where."
Okay.
Hmm. And they aren't telling.
I think our live stream ended on Instagram. I can't tell on
my
screen.
It clicked weird. Yeah. So that's interesting. We'll see. It could be taken over. But like, so you can't, like, no one's going to have funny water on tap, you know?
No.
It makes sense as It'll a can. It'll just be in cans
or whatever. Yeah.
I love carbonation. I like when drinks hurt a little bit.
Well,
get that burn. Well, yeah.
How do you, since it doesn't have carbonation, it has to have a low pH because.
Well, it's fruit infused.
How does it stay? Yeah, but how does it stay shelf stable?
Well, they aren't telling us what else is in it, and they aren't claiming
it's
an actual product. No. So, you know, we won't make any claims for them, but.
It'll be that ambiguous natural flavors, other natural flavors added.
Here, put them on there.
You know,
dude, they are
case the bomb.com has funny water for
they are going after this.
Is that, oh wait, what's the price point for how many?
That's on the bomb.com. So I don't know how their prices stack up to elsewhere.
The bomb.
They are definitely
going
out.
Looks like we may be able to pick it up and try it soon.
Okay.
Listen to this. It says, it's the perfect reward after a half-assed workout and the ideal remedy for a night with the in-laws.
They are 100% going for that Gen Z.
I mean, that is off their website.
Like,
yeah.
It's like it's ironic. It's like a little ironic, but that's okay. Like,
you know what that sounds like? That chat GPT coach's speech that you gave. I guarantee you they're using OpenAI to write this copy.
They're getting that done. Yeah. Well, and their biggest competition, Buzzwater.
Buzzwater, okay.
The TTB must be having an aneurysm with this stuff.
Well, no, if it's because I'm learning this in the seltzer world that, like, if it's not malt based, then it is governed by the FDA and the TTB does not touch it.
So we have somebody soon, we are still live back. We are still live on Instagram, and the closest place we can get this stuff, and then someone just commented the closest place we can get this stuff is in Coffeyville, Kansas at M&W.
Coffeyville, Kansas.
Please tell me that you drove up to Coffeyville. I need a review. I will bring you on this live stream right now to have a review.
They said, like,
this water.
Shit, dude. Like, we got to go get some of this. We got to make a border run to go get some of this funny water. Like,
I know. Do you know anybody up in Coffeyville that would be a mule for us?
Muleback's funny water.
Coffeyville isn't that far, right? It's basically Bartlesville. I mean, right?
Pretty
isn't it like hour and a half and change? It's still in our DMA, I think. for TV. All right, Chase, let me ask you one more question.
It is coming to the state, and it could be at all of our expense. Yes.
Yeah.
Armada is the distributor. Thank you, Steven.
Damn. So this person's at Grand, and I can't – the screen's too far away, so I can't say your username. I apologize. They're at Grand. They're saying they're going to go get it for us. We can try it.
Yes. We can give it. We can give it a review. Oh, you'll have to wait. Next week, I'm probably out of commission.
Yeah, you're probably. Yeah, Chase, I might have you back on to guest host whenever Austin is out with his baby.
Come guest host for me, Chase.
What are we talking about? The 26th?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm available.
That's Lisa's due date.
We'll pencil that in, and a baby McElroy might be on the way. Here's the thing. I do not want you to come into the podcast live from the room, but I would like you to come to the podcast, like, once you step out and, like,
yes,
all the stuff, if it happens to coincide timing wise.
Well, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. To let us know you had the baby.
There we go.
But please do not do it in the room.
That'd be a little traumatic.
Yeah, a little bit for everybody involved. All right, Chase, one more question. I'll let you go.
If it's Monday and you're just like sitting all uncomfortable in that chair that they make the husband sleep in, I've done this twice. You may have the time if you're just like waiting. You know, Austin will have you in as a live guest.
There we go.
On the show.
I can be the guest. You can be the guest co-host.
Let's do this. So if you're actually serious and you want to go up to Coffeeville and grab that water, if you want to bring it to Cabin Boys, shoot me a DM on Instagram and we'll meet up at Cabin Boys. Austin will buy you a couple beers for your trouble.
Absolutely.
And
do what?
I bet it's good. I bet it's just like damn it, this is good.
And Chase, I'll make sure that you know when this happens and you can walk over.
I'll trade you a 4-pack and we'll QA it.
That's awesome. I appreciate you being willing to do that.
Low carb. So like, I think the angle is mostly like one carb.
It's a health thing,
one,
probably.
Like,
yeah.
They can't use words health. You can't include words like healthy in alcohol. Nope. But like, it's totally the angle. And I get that. I mean, like, extra calories kind of aren't that ideal when you're trying to, you know, there's that joke of like, as a 40-year-old, now I can work out hard all the time just so I can be 20 pounds overweight.
Yep.
Yeah, honestly.
And it's
but true. No, I was actually thinking about this earlier when you guys were talking about like why this is a thing. And I think, I don't remember if Austin, if it was you or Chase, it was you. Someone mentioned that like the generation not wanting to do things like the generation before them and that sort of
thing.
That
was Chase.
Yeah. And which I think is spot on. But I also think part of it is that like ever since COVID, I feel like a lot of people have been in way, way more health conscious than they were prior to COVID. And maybe I'm just speaking about myself because I have been, but I feel like I see that a lot too. Like people are kind of watching what they eat. They're kind of watching what they drink. They're trying to work out more. They're getting an ice cold water. They're like doing things that are a little more good for them, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think it might be a very good facade.
Maybe.
That everybody is like putting on when they're out and about.
Fair. There's probably a lot of that.
I could be completely wrong, but I think it is some sort of facade.
All right, Chase, let me ask you one more question, then we'll let you go because it's 9:15. We'll wrap up the podcast as well. This is another big question, but I'm very curious to hear your answer. And it's a very open-ended question. You can take this wherever you want to go. The answer is not the non-carbonated alcoholic water, though. I'm curious what right now excites you. Like, what have you had recently? Have you had a beer recently? Have you heard of something? Are you about to brew something? Just in general, like, what is it right now that kind of excites you in the industry or out of the industry?
Well, we're just stepping back into seltzer season, to not you know, right on the
carbonated version.
But we do a carbonated version that's actually not healthy. It's loaded full of stuff. It's because it tastes good.
So fresh batch
of Quench hits this week, and we've been like kind of experimenting with that kind of realm of alcoholic, non-traditional alcoholic products, sparkling things, putting together this sparkling, you know, it's more or less it's weird. It's like a natural wine spritzer, but all those kind of things that are not beer, but still alcohol. We want the alcohol there. And so I think all of those projects are going to be a lot of fun. I love that we're releasing this Razzbarrel here on Wednesday, and just starting to play with seltzers again as the weather gets better. And all damn, if like that weather today and into this evening wasn't just that, like, was okay, awesome. Life actually could get enjoyable again here with sunny, crisp weather, you know. So
I had the itch to get out and play a little golf today.
So
put some seltzers in the golf bag and go play some golf. I had that itch today, so it is that season for sure.
You didn't. I don't even think it was that tough of a winter, but damn, like spring's so good, and all the you know, great beverages that come along with the weather and enjoying stuff outside. Like, oh my gosh, ready for it?
Absolutely. So you have Razzbarrel on Wednesday. You have Phil Bock a week from this Friday on March the 1st. Yeah, Will you be doing a green beer for St. Patrick's Day?
So we have our Hawaii Boom Boom that just came out, which is pretty green.
Okay.
That one's funny because like it was like never supposed to be that green, but it just kind of happened. Because it was a play on the blue Hawaiian. But ends up when you mix blue and yellow,
it makes green. Yep.
So we haven't cracked the code on that one just yet, but we just run with it.
I love that. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on. I will hit you up to guest host. So are you for sure having, like, are you inducing a week?
No, we're not inducing. So, but I mean, tag in if Chase, if you want.
That's like guest you host, that's up to you. That's up to come you on. Guys. Like, come on. I need like 30 minutes notice.
There you I'll go. Give you more than that. And what I'll do, if you do guest host, I will put some of your old beers that are in my beer closet in the fridge.
I just know if I'm doing this and like Lisa goes into labor, I'm that's sleeping on the couch for the next like 2 years.
No, so here's I'm going to make this executive decision right now. Chase, if you're available, you can come sit in Austin's chair. Austin, you can do it from home.
Perfect.
And you can be the guest and you can come on and if you're not at the hospital, and we'll just play that. So Chase, if you're available, you can be the guest host next Monday.
Unless I get a better offer. Now that I'm on this, what I was hoping is this podcast might open me up to some invites on maybe some other podcasts that are looking for, a fun off the cuff kind of guy.
There you go.
I will gladly be your stepping stone, Chase Healy, any day of the week.
Top. Well, I listened to that Kelsey Brother podcast the other day and it's like, damn, I should probably get on a podcast here and just, you know, see how it feels.
Yeah, absolutely. New Heights is a great podcast. They do a fantastic job. There, that's the problem. There are a lot of really good podcasts. Like, they're just, and there's a lot of shit podcasts too. But there's a lot of really good podcasts. So it's a fun world.
It is a fun world.
Yeah,
a lot of really good information out there.
Absolutely, Chase. We appreciate you, man. I will see you next week in this chair, unless you get a better offer, and I will have more of your old beer that we can try. This one's real old.
You might see me tomorrow trying to trade you a bottle for bottle for one of those barley wines that you guys released.
Ooh,
come on by
if you're at. Right on. Sounds good.
I like that, and I will let you know when this alcoholic water makes it our way, and we can have a little taste test over there.
Sweet. Yeah.
All right, man. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. See ya.
See you, Chase. Love that guy.
Oh man,
great conversation.
I love conversations like that.
Great conversation.
From barley wines to funny water.
Yeah.
Golly.
I'm so scared.
Are we serious?
I'm so scared for where we're going as a society.
Does Gen Z really have to take us into, like, alcohol has been on this planet because it saved us from dying.
Okay.
So beer.
Yeah.
Literally helped people, like, survive through plagues and bacterial water.
Yeah.
And now we're... And... Can I say this? We're choosing to drink a flaccid alcoholic beverage.
I don't like that word. That word hit me like moist hits a lot of people. I didn't like that word.
Flaccid. Wow.
That's the most boring.
I know.
Oh my gosh. I'm excited to taste it.
I really am too. Because I mean, it's basically the playground there is just like any seltzer thing, right? I mean, you're just not carbonating it. So any sort of flavor you can think of, you can inject into this water.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
I mean, it's a blank canvas.
True. It's very blank.
Water. All right. We're only doing one round of this because.
Yeah, that's perfectly
it's
fine.
It's almost 9:30. All right. Pick a number.
This has been a great night, though.
Yeah, it has. Give me a number.
163.
One day I'm going to hit it. I was at 176.
Oh, man. 10 off.
I don't know. All right, you are in the F's. So for those that are watching that don't know the Guess That Beer game, this I don't want to explain this every time.
It's okay.
Book of Great Beers. There's 377-ish pages of beers from around the world. He picks a number. I tell him the letter. He gets three guesses to try to guess the style of beer. Once he knows the style, he gets an extra guess to guess the brewery. And then for an extra credit point, he gets to name the country of origin.
And I've almost gotten
one. Or did I say that backwards? Is it country and then brewery?
Country, then brewery.
Yeah, yeah, I said that backwards.
Country, then brewery.
And you've gotten close. You've gotten two of the three. Four, I think, yeah. Right? Because you had the country, you had the beer style, or there's only three. So two of the three. Yeah. Okay, you're in the F.
But I missed the brewery, which was sad.
Yeah.
Okay, so is it...
Oh, hold on. Top or bottom? One or two?
Top. Yeah, if I've ever, let's do it. I'll just do all of the tops.
Okay.
And then if we run into something that I've done before.
We'll just pick a different one.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Let's see. Below 5%.
No.
Okay. Damn, why did I say 5? That's terrible. That doesn't help me at all. I mean, it kind of helps me. Is the beer hoppier?
Like, no. Well, like, go ahead. What's your...
Like, bitter.
No.
It's not bitter?
No.
Okay. Is it in the lager family?
Yes.
Is it a Dortmunder?
No, it is a rock beer, a smoked lager.
Wow. Okay.
My hint, you would have allowed me to give you a hint, was that one of these was just released, was it last week? The Marshall release theirs, or was it this week? No, it's only Monday, so it was last week. Yeah. Yeah.
Was that Marshall?
Yeah.
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 Okay, so you know the style.
Yep. Is it?
You get a question.
So what is the letter start with?
F.
F
is the brewery. Yeah.
Ooh.
I have not heard of this brewery, if that helps.
Is it in Germany?
Well, you get a question.
Oh.
And if you want that to be your question, I can take it.
Is it on the European continent?
Yes.
Is it from Germany?
No. Austria.
Oh.
Any guess on the brewery? Starts with an F.
Interesting. A Rauschbier in Austria. Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know very many Austrian breweries.
Freistadler.
Yeah, I totally would have guessed that. Yep. Freistadler?
Freisch, T-A-D-T-E-R, with an umlaut over the A.
Freistadler.
Yeah, sounds right.
So Freisch Street.
So this is on the border of Austria and the Czech Republic. The brewery is owned by the townspeople. Been open since 1777. And that's cool. Every owner of the... Wait. Interesting. Okay. So since 17... This is really interesting. Since 1777, every owner of a building inside the old city walls automatically owns a certain number of shares of the brewery.
Yep.
Those shares can only be sold along with the building itself.
Interesting. So you have to be a property owner to be an owner of the brewery.
Within the old city walls. That's pretty cool. And then you can't just sell your shares. You would then have to sell your house or business or whatever it is.
It goes with the house. Yeah. That's pretty interesting. That's crazy. That's fun.
So is
there's
this...
There's not very many breweries that are owned by cities anymore.
No, that's really cool. So is this the last podcast for you probably for a couple weeks? I would assume.
Probably a couple of weeks. If, I mean.
Assuming you have the baby next week, let's just say.
Yeah, if we have the baby next week, yeah, it'll be a couple of weeks till I'm back on. Worst case scenario, 3 weeks from now.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Good luck with the birth of your first child.
Thank you very much.
You will find out, along with all of us, if it is a boy or a girl, correct?
Okay. I mean, well, I'll know before you do.
Well, yes.
I'll.
I meant like you don't already know and you're just not telling us. Yeah.
That'll be fun. I'm excited to make that announcement.
That's awesome.
That'll be great.
Well, I will see you next week on the Tasting Room. You might. Chase will be in that chair.
Unless you have something
better come along.
That'll be super fun.
Yeah, it'll be a blast.
Ice plunge tomorrow morning?
Oh, yeah. Ice plunge. Well, I don't know how
it'll be. It'll be humid plunge.
Yeah. I felt we can go check the temperature of the water. Saturday was rough.
That was actually, I mean, I felt that all the way till about 3.
And I'm sorry if you guys care, which I'm sure you don't. I tried to live stream that damn thing 3 times, but I figured out it was because of the music I was playing and I turned it up. It was probably too loud. Instagram flagged it and took the live down. So you couldn't see our suffering, but it was 39, 38 degree water.
It was chilly.
It was painful.
It was very, very painful.
Yeah, it was painful.
Worth it.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Worth it.
I mean, minus the almost frostbite we gave ourselves on our feet and hands.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it was really worth it. It was great. So I'll see you early in the morning.
Right on.
7:45. We'll be live on Instagram as well, jumping in cold water. Chase, I saw you joined on. If you want to come jump in the water, let me know. I'll send you my address. All right. Love you guys. See you next week.
See you.